Yes. Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha.
Otherwise, Maharaj. Question from Gupta Govardhan. Sridhar Maharaj says that when you are forced to give, to do something, there is no anandam, happiness. So can we say that happiness is the attribute of the is the attribute of and way to the spiritual plane? He also mentions that anandam is the origin, then goes consciousness. Please explain this.
Well, I don't know that specific reference, but in general, Srila Guru Maharaj mentions that there are different reasons that someone might do something. And we mean, you know, good things, like out of obligation, or, you know, a sense of responsibility, what is dharmic. But he says that the best or highest criterion is to do something out of love and affection. And here, I take it that anandam, when we say happiness, it includes love, affection. So, the path that we aspire to is Raga Marg, which means the path of love and affection, of rag, what is, it's sometimes rendered as spontaneous, but not in a whimsical sense, but in spontaneous expression of love and affection, not forced. But to achieve that zone, we'll take guidance, you know, from the author of the Book of Devotion in Srila Rupa Goswami. And so he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he's the leader of the group. And this, the one indicated by Mahaprabhu to carry on his teachings. So in his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we can say is the book on devotion, the book of devotion, Raga Bhakti is not the first thing that he describes. He's describing how to end up in that zone, but he begins with Vidhi Bhakti. And in the context of this question, means doing things, pushing oneself to do certain things out of a sense of obligation, which we admit, that's not the goal, that's not the highest form of expression, but it may have some utility. Like we see, you know, in families, there's like a mother with her little child, and then the grandmother, grandfather, or some senior relative comes and they give something to the child. They put something in the hand and say, give this to grandma. And the child like is hesitant, and they run and they give it, and then they run back and hide behind their mother's skirt. So why are they doing that? Because their mother said, give this to grandma. They may be at a stage where they don't even know what they gave, right? They're not certain who is grandma, you know? Many things left, but what they're being trained, the hand and the gesture of giving, and they're being trained for this. So the next year around, maybe a little better idea. Who is grandma? What is a gift? What are we giving? And in time, ultimately, the child itself may think, oh, this would be a nice gift for grandma, don't you think? Right. So ultimately, it leads to some sort of spontaneous expression from the heart of the child. But we can see in the beginning the utility of their following the advice of their loving, affectionate guardian. Like Gurudev has that, it's the title of the book, a collection of his own, Affectionate Guidance. Right. So from the loving, affectionate guidance of the parent, the child is proceeding with, at first, and we can say, in an ignorant position, and then gradually achieving some sort of awareness until at last there's a spontaneous eruption from the heart, spontaneous expression of love and affection that comes from them. So it's something like that, that because otherwise the neophyte will just think, oh, why should, I mean, Sridhar Maharaj says, if there's no love, you know, it can't be force and it's love, so, you know, I've been asked to do this service, but I'm not feeling it, so I'm not going to do that because I'm very honest. Then we're cheating ourselves. Something comes to us. It's not to do some particular seva is not dependent upon our mood. Although ultimately we can say, well, what about the mood of devotion? That is our goal, our target. But it has to begin somewhere. So again, Rupa Goswami says, oh, because even the Gita, that yat utsrida shastridam shastravidhi utsrida, not to give up, to act whimsically, independently of the rules of the scripture. The other side being just, oh, I'm into raga marg. I don't follow any rules or regulations, it's all spontaneous. Right? If we're insincere, then we won't make progress. If we're insincere, then our position becomes a mockery of genuine devotees. So Rupa Goswami has also said in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that until this natural spontaneous flow, rag, comes from the heart, one should strictly follow the scriptural injunctions. Right. So Prabhupada, I believe in his introduction to the Isha Upanishad, he's making reference to the Vedas, and he said, it could be in the Gita too, but where he says that, someone will say, who's familiar with this system, they'll say, when something is suggested, they'll say, is this a Vedic injunction that I just have to follow it without question? Because right. Guru Maharaj reminds us, because to the Western ear, that's troubling. Following something without question, it cannot look beyond the relative circumstance to understand how this could be valuable. That there is a plane where knowledge descends from that plane, that, you know, achintakalo ye bhava na tangstarkena yojaya, it's beyond argument. If it's actually descending from that plane. So Guru Maharaj tells us Veda, which so often will be rendered as knowledge, that says Veda actually means know in an imperative sense, saying, know this. That means, as Prabhupada said, something, is this a Vedic injunction without examination, without hesitation, without scrutiny? I can just accept that and understand that it is true. That's Veda, saying, know this. It's revealed truth from the upper world descending into this plane. Which is interesting, because although we may take that in a general sense, the plane of our highest aspiration, is also characterized as jnana shunya bhakti, the jnana shunya bhakta, no need to know. As Guru Maharaj said, humorously, that Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. And we have to think like, wait, we're always saying that Goloka Vrindavan is the exclusive domain of the highest section of liberated souls. Right? And Guru Maharaj is going to he's saying, Krishna likes to surround himself with ignorant people. So what can that possibly mean? He means the jnana shunya bhakta, who Krishna's, the majestic aspect of his divinity is suppressed, it's in the background. Right? They don't need to know that. Right? In fact, their love and affection has eclipsed the knowing factor. Right? So much so, like we hear, well, first in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada liked this verse very much in the 10th canto. Itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasam gatanam paradevatena maya svitanam darakena. Sakyam bijahru krita punya punya. He's astonished when he hears these pastimes of Krishna and the cowherd boys, and this is a setup for then what to speak of the Brajagopis. When he hears of the level of intimacy of Krishna with his friends, the cowherd boys, he's saying, krita punya punya, like, what did they do that... Not only they're playing with Krishna, but they seem to have no overt awareness of his divinity. So it's like normally you would think you go from a position of ignorance to like, you know, karma, structured karma, to jnana, above karma, get some sort of mukti realization, and then end up, you know, in full-blown enlightenment, God realization. And then we're saying like, well, then they go... then that starts going in the background and they're just seeing him as a friend or an equal. So Parikshit Maharaj is astonished and like, what did they do to end up in a position like that? That if they hear that Krishna's doing so many miraculous things, right? The Trinavarta, who else? Shakatasura, the Putana, Kaliya, one after another, in like these miraculous pastimes. Some people are beginning to see a pattern. They're saying like, you know, one or two of these things might happen, but there seems to be a pattern here with the son of Nanda Maharaj. And there are different rumors. Vrindavan is a village, after all. It's a prakriti. The ultimate plane of existence is expressing itself as a village. That's interesting. That's peculiar. In this village, with and village-like proportion, but less we get lost in a stereotype, we're told, in a particle of that soil are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, which each one measures like a billion miles, kilometers, take your pick, length and breadth. Innumerable Vaikunthas and a particle of soil in Goloka Vrindavan that shows itself as a village, in village-like proportion, village-like environment and atmosphere. So in that plane, there's also gossip. Right? In a higher reality, there's gossip. And we think, oh, you mean just like here? Right? Except there, it's liberating. Gossip is liberating. Here, it's not a good thing. Even Mahaprabhu telling Raghunath Das Goswami, warning him against gramya katha. That means gossip. But there, even gossip is it's like higher than Veda, because Vedas are giving a general indication, not full expression. So what is some of the gossip there? Seeing the pattern of Krishna's miraculous pastimes, there are rumors that the son of Nanda Maharaj is a devata. Because these are simple-hearted village people, and like, he's some sort of like a demigod. Because they're saying, well, that's way up there, demigod. He could be some sort of demigod who, like, he took birth as a human being, and he's playing. And others are saying, well, I heard not just a demigod, but like deva-deva. The god of the demigod. He's God himself. No. Yes. They're saying, our Gopal, yes. There are people who say, he is not one of us. He's only playing as if he is one of us. But he's God himself. And they think, but Gopal, we see, like, sometimes he's talking so much nonsense. How could I? And also, if we neglect him, his feelings are hurt, if any way. And he seems to be dependent upon our love and affection. How could he be God, dependent on us, on our love and affection? Right. And to Yashoda, she hears rumors. People say, Krishna is not the son of Nanda and Yashoda. There are rumors, gossip, people in the village, they gossip. What did you hear? I heard he's actually the son of Vasudeva and Devaki in Mathura. Yes? Yeah. And Yashoda saying, these people are evil. I have this wonderful son, and he does wonderful things, no doubt. But Nanda Maharaj, you can explain that. Nanda Maharaj saying, yes, Garga Rishi, he came and could see in his chart, in his astrological chart, that in his last life, he did so many wonderful things. And we did so many wonderful things in our former lives, that such a wonderful boy took birth in our family. And he said, like Narayan, very much like, but not Narayan, which is true. But he means to say, like Narayan, like, but not. Well, yes, I mean, that's a fact. That's at the heart of Krishna conception. Krishna rajateka kela sarvatam naralila narabapu tahara swarup. Gopa Vesh Venukar Navakishore Natavar Naralila Hoyanarup. Human like, but Narayan. Like Narayan, but human like. A human like version of Narayan. Meaning, like, he's part of Narayan? Then should we think that? Narayan, oh, maybe. The majestic, you know, the God of God, Narayan, having some human like pastimes? Is that what it means? Vikriditam Brajabhaduridam to Vishnu. And Krishna's pastimes with the Brajagopis are not the pastimes of a man. They're the pastimes of divinity appearing like man, human-like. As Guru Maharaj says, the pastimes of Krishna, the form of Krishna is the template for human civilization. So there, yeah, when Guru Maharaj said he likes to surround himself with ignorant people, means people who are not obsessed with his divinity. Their rag, their love and affection has eclipsed the majestic aspect, and that's being suppressed. It comes out at different times. We shouldn't think they don't know. We see in their expressions, they know everything. But it's a yoga maya type of ignorance. And I say, there, you know, jnana shunya bhakti, aham ajnana jam tama. So, what was the question? Oh, we're talking about raga bhakti. So, Parikshit Maharaj saying, so how could someone evolve to this point of being that intimately connected with Krishna and his pastimes, playing as equals, friends, sharing, you know, their lunch boxes on the banks of the Jamuna, teasing each other, stealing from one another, and all these things that boys do, he's doing that. Brahma says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Even the gods are bewildered and trying to properly estimate who is Krishna and what are his pastimes. After the Aghasura Leela, when Brahma heard, because remember, the quality of sound vibration can travel throughout the universe. So if the gods, we're on the earth, but if the gods and goddesses are celebrating Krishna Leela, they're singing and dancing, playing musical instruments. So Brahma heard this on Brahma Loka. So that means it's a very fine vibration. We shouldn't think of it as like sound that's limited to this atmosphere, you know, and that kind of thing. Like, remember the sonic boom? If you move, I only know it in miles, 720 miles per hour, whatever that is in kilometers, you know, have you ever heard a sonic boom? It sounds like an explosion. Really, it does. It sounds like a bomb went off over your head. So, but this sound vibration is so fine, it's going into the upper planetary systems all the way to Brahma Loka. He's thinking, what are the gods and what are these? There's some kind of a celebration going on. And on his swan carrier, Brahma comes and he looks and sees these gods and goddesses are like mad with delight, singing and dancing, showering flowers, and upon whom? Krishna, a five-year-old boy who's sitting with his five, six, seven-year-old boyfriends, cowherd boys, and they're with their calves on the banks of the Jamuna eating their lunch. And he's thinking like, well, have they lost their minds? All these adults worshiping this child, this is silly. Muhyanti Yatsuraya. Even Brahma, what is it called? Brahma Vimohan, the bewilderment of Brahma. So he is thinking, because Krishna, it's deceptively simple. His dress, his age, his look, he doesn't have four arms or 10 or 1,000. Right? Brahma has four heads. And bamboo flute, little stick in his waist, food in his left hand, eating like this, laughing, joking with the others. And so Brahma thought to, I'll put an end to this. This is crazy. All these gods and goddesses worshiping this kid. So I'll take all his friends and the calves and hide them in a cave on Brahma Loka, and then we'll see who's laughing. He's saying, probably he'll start crying, call for his mother, something like that, feeling all afraid in the forest, where did all my friends go? Yeah. So he takes, hides them, and then he looks, and he's thinking, oh, wait a minute. He's thinking, maybe Brahma's middle-aged or older, his memory's not, short-term memory's not so good, because he lives for 300 trillion years. So if you're 150 trillion, your memory might start to go. So he's thinking wait, he sees all the calves, everything's exactly as it was before he stole the calves and cowherd boys and hid them in a cave in Brahma Loka. Wait a minute. So he's thinking looks back on Brahma Loka, sees they're all in some kind of a mystic slumber in the cave. Looks back, then he goes, wait a minute, and he sees Krishna and all the cowherd boys and calves, but suddenly all the cowherd boys and all they've all turned into four-armed Vishnu forms. And he's smacking his forehead. No, I'm losing my mind. They all turn into four-armed Vishnu forms. And Brahma's he really is now becoming more and more bewildered. Then he sees that all the grass is dancing. They're dancing and having kirtan, and they're all singing the glories of Krishna. And even subtle things like the wind, the air, they're all singing the glories of Krishna. The directions, they're worshiping Krishna. And this is all too much for him. Muhyanti yatsuraya. It's too much for Brahma, the creator. And he has manasaputras, he creates planets, he is born from the navel of Vishnu. It's too much. He can't process all of this with his forehead computing power. What is it, a quad core? The Brahma quad core. It's too much. And he's like... And then Krishna's just smiling. Play, Leela, Krishna Leela. This is God. Didn't have to make a big show. he sort of did, but but without any effort. It's not that, and Krishna's really sweating. It's hard to do all of this. It's hard to manifest all those Vishnu forms, No, he's there. Nothing's changed. They're going in and out, and Brahma, he sees innumerable Brahmas, innumerable Shivas. He's really becoming bewildered. And then at last, he faints. And when he comes awake, there's Krishna and Brahma with tears coming down from his eight eyes, from his foreheads, crying. He starts offering prayers to Krishna. Nomijite brabha puse taridambaraya gunjava tanksha paripich chalasan mukhaya banya svaje kavala vetra vishanu venu lakshma shriye mridupade pashu pankajaya. He's saying, you're very tricky. It's hard to see you properly. Now, just literally saying, to see you, know who you are. Why? Brahma's always becoming a little poetic. Because he said, no me jite, I'm offering my to whom? No me jite, abravapu. You have a Your complexion is like a monsoon rain cloud. That's Abhravapu. So when, like a dark rain, it's like not so easy to see, to distinguish. But Taridambaraya, Tarit means lightning. And he says, Tarit Ambar. Ambar means dress. Taridambara. But when you're dressed in lightning, that reveals you. So he begins by saying, I am offering my obeisances to that person who, like an indecipherable black monsoon rain cloud, there's a flash of illumination by his lightning dress. The lightning dress provides some, then I can see who you are. So, as we hear sometimes, that Radharani, she wears blue for Krishna. She's golden and she wears blue. And Krishna, he's blackish, Shyamasundar, and he wears gold, yellow, Taridambar, the lightning-like dress, which represents the color of Radharani, the Ladini Shakti. So what Brahma is saying, when you are dressed in your potency, when you're covered, there's your, and Gita, what is it? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudho yam nabijanati loko mam avyam avyam. There's different ways Krishna can be covered. There's like maya, Mahamaya, Yogamaya. So here's a dress, a type of covering that contrasts and reveals Krishna. Haladani Shakti, Srimati Radharani. So he's saying, when you're in the company of your potency, then we can understand who you are properly. In the first few words, so much is being offered. Gunjava tanksha paripichchala sanmukhaya. And he's saying, like, and who normally, if we were thinking about God, because when we think of like kings and they always have like a big throne, crown sitting on a big throne, jewels everywhere. And he's saying, and you're wearing gunja. Gunja, they look, anyone who's seen them, they look like little red berries with black caps. That also represents Radharani, and Krishna likes to wear that, gunja mala. So you think, gunja vatangsha, paripit, and what, in your hair, a peacock feather, not a big jeweled crown with two guys standing on each side, it's so heavy they have to hold it. Right? No, a peacock feather. Your hair, and Guru Maharaj said, from all the cow herding, he called it agreeable negligence. Like it's not perfectly combed. No, it's like messy, but looks good. That's also a look. And with one peacock feather, not 100 of them or 108 or no, one. One peacock feather, one real nice one. Because we're told the peacocks, they ask Krishna to play his flute so that they can dance. And Krishna plays the flute, and then the peacocks start madly dancing. And out of gratitude, the peacocks offer themselves to Krishna, and he like picks one really nice peacock feather. And they think, he's ours. They feel something. Paripichchala sanmukhaya. Banya srijay. And he's wearing forest flowers. Flowers they collected from the forest. Mridupade. A couple of Vaitra Vishanavin. Oh, and he has food in his left hand. Like anyone who's gone to India knows, you should not hold the food in your left hand. So he is breaking the rules, rule breaker. Food and left eating like that. Lakshma Shmi Mridupade Pashupankajaya. And his steps are very like soft, the way he walks. Sometimes Rupa Goswami said Krishna walks like a baby elephant, the way they walk. Pashupanka Jaya. He keeps animals, primarily cows, but other ones too. And Brahma's saying, so I guess I could be forgiven for not recognizing who you are, I hope. Then he offers many, many prayers. Janantu eva janantu kim bahuktya name prabho vibho. Others may say they know about Krishna, but I don't have much to say on this. Of course, he says it in the middle of the Brahma Stuti, like 30, 40 prayers in praise of Krishna. But I recall when I got to serve Srila Prabhupada his lunch once, and I'm sitting on the other side in case he needs something, and he's asking me different things about the local, like taking some prasam, asking some questions, and he wanted to know what I was doing specifically. And I told him, well, I'm shipping books to temples, but also doing some like house-to-house programs, preaching to Indian members of the community in New York with another devotee. Prabhupada, he was like interested to hear about that. And at one point I told him, I said, but sometimes Prabhupada, they're not so receptive to hear what we have to say, that sometimes the people, they'll say things like, oh, I know what is Krishna. Okay. And Prabhupada, he tilted his head back laughing, went, he said, that is their disease. But the way he said, that is their disease, that they think they know what is Krishna. That's what Brahma is saying. Janantu eva janantu. Others may say they know. I don't. I'm only Brahma. Created the universe that you're in, saying that you know what is Krishna. I won't say that. And tatapi te deva padambuja draya prasadale shanugrihita evahi zanati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. If you want to know the glory, he said, you have to get a little mercy. It's not intellectualism, computing power, processing power, right? Big data. The sum total of all big data will never equal the infinite. Prashad aleshanu. You have to get some mercy. Otherwise, you won't know. So, when Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadev, what did they do, these cowherd boys? Because he started, Brahma is all the same. That I have some experience with Yajna. And was the Lord's name? Yajnesha. There's some different names with the word Yajna. I mean, we're told he's Yajna Bhuk. He only eats the results of sacrifice. That's how he eats, is through Yajna. Saying, but so that the Lord of Yajna, you know, Yajna Vaya Vishnu and all these things, the whole Vedic system of how you, you know, make offerings, things. So that's the Lord I generally think of and have some awareness of. And there's a system, the Vedic way, that we've always done and that we promote. And you think, but that, so that who is Yajna Bhuk, that he can sit on the banks of the Jamuna River, surrounded by his friends, like throwing lunch boxes around and stealing each other's offerings and laughing and joking while they, like, I saying, I didn't know, like, that could be God too. We know the more, everyone knows they're familiar with the stereotypical conception of divinity, a little stiff. Here, so much playfulness. And he's there and he has the stick for herding the cows through his belt, just a stick. And on the other side, a flute, a bamboo flute that he enjoys playing. And we should mention, today is the appearance day of Bhaktivedanta Thakur, the intimate associate and the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, who he, after Nimai Pandit took sannyas and became Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that left Vishnu Priya Devi and Mother Sachi alone. And we know Ishan, the great devotee Ishan, looked after them, but also Bhaktivedanta Thakur, and who later also worshipped Vishnu Priya Devi's deity of Mahaprabhu. And he also took care of Nityananda Prabhu and the Navaditam Parikrama of Jiva Goswami Nityananda, and under the orders of Nityananda Prabhu, preparing things. And it's mentioned there, he is revered as being the flute of Krishna. That's who he is in Krishna Leela. We hear like Gora Gonodesha Deepika, who's who? Who is this person in Gora Leela? Is that person in Krishna Leela? So he's the flute of Krishna. How exalted. Even Rupa Goswami has Chandravali expressing her envy. Of course, it's in a very glorifying way. What is that? Where's Vishalach Chidra Jalena Purna Lagu Nirashashi Chumbananda. I forget the sloka, but she's saying in double entendre meaning. He's saying, who is this flute? What is this flute doing? He's saying, the nectar from the lips of Krishna is meant for the Braja Gopis. And now this flute is the recipient of all of that nectar. Because Krishna plays the flute and it goes, streams out into the environment. And she said, his chidra means holes, but it also means like knots or faults. So as a bamboo, it has different knots and holes. She's saying, he's so full of fault, holes. and it's bamboo, dried bamboo. And you say, Nirashashi, no rasa there, just a dry piece of wood and is of the male gender on top of it all. Who is this flute? What is this flute doing? She's seemingly blaspheming the flute. But by doing so, it's praising Krishna's flute and how extraordinary. And the thing, because that's his, it's all Chinmoy. Vaikuntir Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy. What kind of a world is that where the flute is a person? I think of parents who have little children go to the real little ones who are like 4 or 5, 6 years old. sometimes they go to school or kindergarten, and the teachers, they have a play. Right? And the child is very excited, comes home and tells the mother and father, like, oh, I'm in a play, you know. They say, oh, what part are you playing? And the child will say, I'm a flower. And they're very happy, like, I'm a flower. And here's my costume. And different petals and like little face, like a sunflower, you know, and like, I'm a flower. Oh. So even a child understands you can play the part of a flower in a play. Right? Put the infinity symbol next to that. Factor in infinity. In the upper world, in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, Bhakti Vedananda Thakur is the flute of Krishna. And his flute body is Chinmoy. And he's fully conscious. If you think about it too much in the right way, you'll faint. Right? Such an exalted personality. And exalted possibilities in that world. Krita Punya Punya. What did they do? Pariksit Maharaj is very intelligent. And he also wants the others to understand. Very often, as soon as someone realizes the good fortune of the others, that question comes to mind. The ladies of Mathura, when they saw the beauty of Krishna, when Akur is bringing Krishna and Balaram and cowherd boys to Mathura, Gopyastapakki macharanyaramushya rupam lavanyasaram asamorva ananyasiddham drigbi pibantyunusabha binavam durapam ekantadama yashashashriya aishwaryasya. Krishna's so beautiful, and they're just seeing him for a second. And this beauty is so overwhelming and extraordinary. Just see how beautiful their hearts are, enriched with what type of devotion. First they think, what did the gopis do that they get to see him all the time? We're just seeing him for the first time. Wow. What did they do? They're always seeing Krishna. Gopya, gopyastapa, they're thinking, is there some sort of austerity they did? Like, yes, they were in the forest and only eating twigs and, you know. Kasyanu bhavosya chadeva vidmahe tavangri renu sparasha dikarya yadvanchana sri lalana charattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dridambrita Lakshmi Devi. In the Tapovan for many lifetimes and performing austerities and not given entrance into the Rasa Leela. So then what? It's not some particular vrat, tapa thing that they said, oh no, they worship Katyayani, didn't they? Those, the Brajagopa thing. Then I'll also worship Katyayani and get a similar result. No. Kamaishtaishtaya hritagyana prapadyantenya devata. Hritagyan, those who worship the devatas, surrender to them, their knowledge is, they're deluded. The Brajagopis, they have rag for Krishna, so everything becomes co-opted by that. It's not the inverse, that by worshiping Katyayani they got, no, this is the natural flow of their hearts. And these cowherd boys, that they're jnana shunya bhaktas, Krishna surrounding himself with ignorant people. People are not concerned with his divinity, his identity as divinity. That is not their concern. They just love Krishna as he is. Our Vila Govinda ashram in Italy is near this town called Como. that's famous, right? A lot of people who are wealthy, they like to get a place there if they can, yeah. And one such person was the actor George Clooney. And he met with the people there before he made the decision, and he said, I would just like to be a member of your community, and I don't want any special treatment, or I just want to be, you know, one of the citizens here. Is that possible? Because it'll cost me a lot of money to make this, you know. And they said, hey, Giorgio, no problem. So the point is, why? Because he's thinking, I don't want to be in a place where at every moment people are thinking, oh, here's that famous, handsome Hollywood actor. Yeah. So they won't be seeing me as me. They'll be seeing that. And that will prevent me from having a loving, affectionate relationship with anyone. It's a common complaint amongst famous, rich people. I can't find someone to have a relationship who just likes me as me. Everyone is suspect. So that's what Krishna is saying in the beginning of the Charitamritam, is people who are overwhelmed by my majestic aspect, Aishwarya Gyan, I am disappointed. I mean, some of this disappointment is chronicled by Rupa Goswami and can be a source of instruction and delight. After Krishna punished Kaliya, right? Whose wives are saying, oh, Lakshmi Devi couldn't get this. Our husband can't get the lotus feet of Krishna off his head. Other people are trying to get that. He can't remove them. How fortunate is he? But so when Krishna finally is successful defeating Kali and comes out of the Jamuna, he's received differently by different devotees. Yeyatamam prapadyante, tams tateva bhajamyaham. And Rupa Goswami is making a point about the gradual development of this kind of loving expression, how rare it is, and also an incremental in development. One cowherd boy, he has a strong urge to, you know, Krishna just comes back from the clutches of death, literally. Yeah. He wants to hug him, and he starts to like raise his arms to hug Krishna, and then he goes like saying that wouldn't be appropriate. So why does he mention that? There's others who cannot resist hugging Krishna. He's showing that there's an incremental development of this sort of sentiment. It's really extraordinary. So some of those coward boys, they're a little younger than Krishna. Maybe there's an element of respect there. Those who are like equal, and then those who are older, like Balaram, their friendship has an element of vatsalya in it, in the sense of to protect, to maintain. It's very beautiful, the way he's expressing things. I mean, very perfect. Pujala Raghapat Gaurava Bhange. So that plane is so high, so extraordinary. We're thankful that by the grace of our Guru Varga, here we have some opportunity to do some sort of seva that is meaningful in terms of our present capacity. And should not try to voyeuristically envision ourselves as super servitors in the upper world. The full time realizing there are super servitors and there is an upper world that is comprised of them, every element of it, including the flute. And the gopis, they're offering so much praise. The gopis saying, oh, his family must be proud of him. And they mean the bamboo growing on the banks of the Jamuna. That's his family. They must be so proud of their son. But they're also getting some of the nectar of Krishna, because Krishna's in the Jamuna. It's inconceivable. He's in the Jamuna of Braja Gopis, and then the water is nectarine to begin with, and contact with Krishna, and the nectar of Krishna, and then it's seeping and nourishing the bamboo. How can we conceive properly of that world? And as we told in Lalitastakam, Yadkamapi Brajakule Vrishabhanu Jaya Preksha Sapaksha Parivim Anurajamanam. How she's, even in that plane, that's what makes this extraordinary, she's canvassing others to join her group. We would think, well, I thought according to the science of rasa, someone has an eternal position. How could they be canvassed to join another group? So we hear of Shyamananda Prabhu that his guru in the beginning was Hriday Chaitanya, who, there's also something called Ragamarg Diksha. He initiated him on the job. He will verify your authenticity with his nose. I mean, Hriday Chaitanya, he's a Sakya Rasa devotee, for real. Gives Ragamarg Diksha to Shyamananda. I mean, he's initiating him into Sakya Rasa, friendship, mellow. And everything's fine. I mean, this is not arbitrary. Recognizing that this is actually his eternal position, like Ruchi Pariksha, the Swaroop is peeping. He's given this at that time. This isn't a fantasy or a projection or some kind of a charade of Sahajiyas and Neophytes. It's for real. And that Shyamananda, he's walking in the plain of Vrindavan, and you see there is one lady, she's frantically searching for something. Oh, before that, I should say. While there, walking, he finds in the sand, the soil of Vrindavan, a nupur, a bangle. And it's extraordinary. He ties it up in his cloth, he's carrying that. Then he comes upon this lady who's frantically searching for something. And he asks if she needs some assistance. Can I help you? And she's saying, yes, my mistress was here last evening and she lost a bangle. He's saying, oh, he opens his cloth and says, is this the bangle? She's saying, yes, that's the bangle, we're so happy. And she picks up the bangle and takes it and presses it to his forehead. And when she does that, he becomes imbued with Madhura Rasa sentiments and is undergoing some sort of extraordinary internal transformation. This leads him, he goes to the group of his guru and God brothers, God sisters, the co-disciples. And they see this, there's this new type of tilak on his forehead. And the guru is saying, this is not the tilak of our group. This is inappropriate. Remove it. And he's saying, that's not possible. remove it. He said, try. And they're rubbing his head. And still the tilak is there. And this is perplexing to the guru. And he's calling upon Jiva Goswami. Shyamananda approaches Jiva Goswami, who's confirmed the legitimacy of this transformation. And the guru wants to, he's calling Jiva Goswami for explanation. One thing we should say as a footnote, do not call Jiva Goswami for an explanation. Unless you're saying, oh, if we could hear your satsandarbha. Or you have some slogan, Anta Krishna Bahir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vai Bhavam Kalo Sankirtana Dyeshma Shri Krishna Chaitanya Swami. We love your slokas and we are Jivanugas, aspiring Jivanugas. Jiva Goswami, he's too busy writing the satsandarbhas. But in that upper world that we spoke of, Radhika Madhavasham, that is, you know, our service aspiration expressed in its highest ways, Sri Rupanuga Kritimati Guru Gauranga Radha Jitasha, in the Rupanuga line under the guidance of our Guru Varga, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, etc. In that realm, Lalita Sakhi, just like Rupa Goswami says, Yad Kamapi Brajakule Vrishabhanu Jaya. She, the leader of, there's different groups, as we told, those cowherd boys. The highest group, Subal, is their leader. And they're just adjacent to Madhura Rasa and have some connection. As once some devotees, they wanted the deities of Krishna Balaram and Subal and Sridham. And they're asking Guru Maharaj, how should Subal be shown? And Guru Maharaj said, prepared to fulfill the inner desire of Krishna. And they said, yes, but you know, his gesture, and how should we show him? Or he said, ready to fulfill the inner desire of Krishna. And they said, but how should his hands be? And Gurmur said, that a Murtiwala can decide. But the proper representation of him is someone who has the capacity to what? Fulfill the inner desires of Krishna. Enough said. So that Subal, we know he's in Radharani's family line. We're told if Radharani appeared as a boy, he should look like Subal. He looks like Radharani, but as a boy. So how inconceivably beautiful he must be. But Lalita Sakhi, we're told in the upper world, approaches Subal and tells him, that one in your group, we're taking him for our group. And Subal is saying, of course, Hare Krishna. So, we can't have a stereotype. When dealing with the infant, why, Achintikaluye Babas, not tongue star, Kena Yoji, isn't that something you can argue about? Brahma's trying to help us understand this. Otherwise, why is it there? And why does it appear where it appears? Why is it 13th, 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? The Rasalila begins in the 29th chapter. Five chapters beginning with 29. Because it's all perfect. It's the perfect explanation. And prerequisite qualifying to, if we follow this thread, they're not. It's not a random sequencing of stories. Gopi Jana Basta Hari. Why is that come when it does before? It's not a random sequence of stories. Perfect structure. Samas and Vyas. Perfect structuring to bring one to that point. So if they say, what did they do? What did these cowherd boys do to get that position? Then we can understand how extraordinary their position is, then what to speak of the position of the Brajagopis. But Saraswati Thakur saves us with his motto, Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange. Ragamarg, always kept above as worshipable. And from this plane, always with folded palms, bowed head, and this plane, Matala Sadhana Bishai Rangi, engaged in some service to that plane of our service aspiration. Ahoy Tukiya Pratyata, the Bhagavatam says that causeless and irresistible. That means it cannot be a A plus B equals C kind of thing. Causeless, ahoituki, apratyata, irresistible. What is Rupa Goswami's example about how it's irresistible? He said, like the mutual, natural attraction of a boy and a girl. That's the example he gives. So then you can understand, if you're in a preliminary stage of that, there's not, you can't force that or achieve that by wishful thinking or have some childhood misconception about what it might be, as children do, but rather give attention to what is before you and modest natural growth at the right time in an irresistible way, that attraction will be there. And Gromers, and about achieve, you know, like the higher achievement. Like, you know, Audaushrada, Sarusango, Bhajanakrita, Bhajanakriya, Narta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, Prem. He said, a girl who's having her first baby. Sometimes she's very tired. And she tells her mother, as they get closer and closer to the time of the birth, she's saying, wake me up when the baby comes. I don't want to miss that. And Guru Maharaj is saying, no, you will be awake at that time. Not like, hey, wake up. No, he said, you'll be very awake. So the boy's saying, how will I know? You'll know. You'll know. The devotees think, well, how will I know? When I? You'll know. You'll be very much awake. Beyond awake. As Guru Maharaj would say, Srinvantu Mrishe Amritasya Putra. Oh, you sons of nectar, sons of the nectarine ocean sea, please listen to me. You were born to taste nectar. You must not allow yourselves to be satisfied by anything but nectar. Awake, arise, and search for that nectar. Search for Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful. Uttishta Jagrata Prapya Bharan Nibodhita. Awake, awaken to this possibility that's before you as a human being. That kind of awakening, that's the general awakening, awakening to the prospect. But for that achievement, one will be most awake, Krishna conscious. in a substantial way. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunath. Echai gochai kori charana vandan. Jaha hoite vignana shavista puran. Echai gochai jarmui tarodas. Tansabada Badarenu Mora Panchagra. Tandera Charan Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. Janame Janame Moi Abilas. Echai Gochai. Echai gochai jabe braje koilo vas. Radha Krishna nitya lila kori lo prakar. Anande bolo hari baja vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Harinam Sankirtan Koi Narottamadas. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pari Braja Kacharja Sattara Sattara Sri Srimad Shilabhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Bharga Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gova Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Sri Balaram Rasyatra Ki Jai. Sri Avibhav Mahamahotsava Thiti Bhangshi Vedananda Thakur Ki Jai. Avibhav Mahamahotsava Thiti Shyamananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Srila Yasi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Madhacharya Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Vadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.